I was just going to ask you, where are you that you're up this early? Because I was surprised to see on the rundown at 6:30, but I was like, that's some great dedication. Where are you headed right now?
Well, I'm in London right now in England, so it's actually not that early. It's about lunchtime for me. So I'm heading back to Atlanta this afternoon.
Okay. Well, safe travels ahead of time. I'm sure we'll wish it to you at the end as well. But one of the biggest things that everyone's kind of raising their eyebrows at, and it's something that, again, like we all got wrong, not only Kawhi to the Clippers with Paul George, but 2+1. Were you surprised at the term of that contract? And really, what does that mean? What does that say to you that he only wanted to be there for 2+1 before he reevaluates?
Well, I'm not that surprised now, really, because we've seen LeBron do this when he was back in Cleveland, and we saw Kevin Durant do that the whole time he was in Golden State, basically just giving themselves these shorter-term contracts so that if things don't work out, they can go somewhere else, or they can reassess and sign for that bigger deal later down the line, or they're just basically putting pressure on the organization to make sure that that team stays competitive the whole time. So I think what you're seeing now is a lot more players are trying to take control of their own destiny a little bit and not giving up too much control to the franchise in terms of where these guys play. And Kawhi, I mean, you know, the 2+1 kind of works in his favor because, as I said earlier, he can sign that bigger extension if he chooses to stay with the Clippers. If things don't go well for him, though, in 2 years, we know he's still going to be a valuable player on the market, and he can then basically go wherever he wants, like he chose to do this time by going to the Clippers when he was a free agent. So I'm not really that surprised what we're seeing from players across the league. I think this is a trend that's going to continue, and I think, you know, owners and franchises are going to look at ways to maybe not allow players to do this in terms of going forward because they want to lock down the players for longer-term commitments. So I think we're going to head towards this in the next collective bargaining agreement where there's going to be some sort of, adjustment to the rule because I think, you know, you're going to see owners just not want to have players have that much control, and it's something that we're going to see change in the future.
There's been a lot of finger wagging, you can't talk to a player while he's under contract. It's ridiculous that Kawhi and Paul George were able to do this. I'm failing to see why this is so bad for OKC, right? Because if we're talking about why players shouldn't be able to do this, OKC are the victims in all this, but it just doesn't feel that way. So what do you think about the return that they got and, you know, what it means for their future? Did they really get screwed here, or did they do super well in a trade where really, you know, the team they were trading with feels like they got two guys out of them when really they only got one?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be pretty happy overall if you're a Thunder fan because they weren't close to contending for a championship. They've been bad in the 3 years that Kevin Durant's left as far as performing in the playoffs. Russell Westbrook has been a star in the regular season, winning MVP and averaging a triple-double, but it just really hasn't translated to anywhere near championship success in the playoffs. So why not hit the reset button right now, and why not really get all you can for Paul George, who still had 2 years under contract? He basically went to the Thunder and said, trade me to the Clippers, and the Thunder said, all right, well, we'll get, you know, what turned out to be around 5 first-round picks. So I think that's okay, and they're probably going to get more when they actually trade Russell Westbrook as well. So really, you don't want to be in the situation the Thunder are in where, you know, you get your hopes up during the regular season that maybe things will be different. They get to the playoffs and nothing had changed at all. You know, Westbrook basically tried to do too much and it didn't really help the Thunder. So now Paul George has moved on. The Thunder's future looks bright. The next year, obviously, the Thunder aren't going to be good, and they probably won't be good for the next 2 or 3 seasons as they go through this rebuilding process. But I think in the end, in the long term, you're going to be a better-off team. Sam Presti has shown he's very, very good at the draft. He's drafted some incredible players in his time there. And I think if you're a Thunder fan, it's worth going through the next 2 or 3 years of pain to see what the end result will be. And I think as these teams like the Clippers and the Lakers, as they sort of go through their championship window right now, then when that declines, then maybe the Thunder will be on their way up and ready to compete again. So I think it's okay. I think, the Thunder went for it with Paul George a couple of seasons ago. Sam Presti took a huge gamble. It paid off in those 2 seasons as far as they got Paul George to stay and commit to the team. It didn't work out. They trade him for a boatload of draft picks, and they get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that deal as well. So I really don't think it's bad for the Thunder, even though if you're a Thunder fan, clearly they're not going to be a team that's going to win the championship next season. I mean, if Russell Westbrook stays, they're probably in the playoff hunt. But if he goes and Sam Presti decides to really hit the full rebuild button here, then they're probably going to get some young guys back and even more draft picks. So the future is bright, even if the next year or two isn't so flashy in OKC.
Yeah, and any time you come out of a trade and you're more primed to be the Celtics with the picks or the 76ers with the picks as opposed to the Nets after their big trade, you're in a pretty good position for yourself, right? And you make a really great point. If you're not playing for a title and if you're exiting the postseason early year after year, I get it that it's going to be more lucrative and there are more big-ticket players that are going to draw crowds in, but what's even the point if you're not playing for a title? So at least they're not completely just mailing it in and tanking, but there's an element of being aware of your situation and trying to recalibrate to come back stronger.
And let's be honest here, Sam Presti probably looked at this situation and goes, they weren't going to win anyway if Paul George had stayed there next season.
Right.
He was probably trying to figure out a way of how he can maybe move on from the Russell Westbrook era himself. This gives him now a free hit that he's not trying to trade the franchise star just because he's sick of him. It's like, you know what, Russ kind of wants out anyway. We're hitting the rebuild button here. So it works for both parties without anyone looking like the bad guy. I mean, I'm speculating, of course, there. Maybe that, you know, Sam Presti, he's very loyal to his players and he likes to show that in the media. But again, the Thunder, you know, another first-round exit this season, and it was a bad one. You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, the Blazers basically said to Westbrook, shoot as much as you want, and he did, and it cost him that first round. And we saw last year against the Utah Jazz, the Thunder had home court advantage, and the Jazz came in there and won in six games. I mean, it could have been five games as well. So, you know, whatever the Thunder do during the regular season, it's just not a team that gets close to winning a championship come playoff time. And I don't think that was going to change going into next season. So I think Sam Presti looks at this as like, you know what, that experiment didn't work. Let's start all over again. And he's got a huge array of assets now to go out there. And he doesn't obviously necessarily have to use these all on draft picks. He can trade these and, you know, get better players in return as well. So I think what we've seen from Sam Presti in his time there in OKC and Seattle when he was originally there, that he will make pretty smart moves and pretty savvy moves. And even if the Thunder aren't doing so well next season, I don't think it's going to be like a big 5 or 6 year rebuild there. I think things are going to change fairly quickly.
Lee, let me tell you what I see outside the window right now. There's a sea of Raptors fans in championship merch, and they're all marching down the street and wailing and crying, and they have been for days now.
No, fake news.
It's actually happening, and it feels like it's concerningly early for that, but it's actually happening. But despite all that, despite the heartbreak of Kawhi leaving, you think the Raptors were smart to avoid giving up all those assets?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think Masai Ujiri, what I noticed about him, even throughout the season and even at his sort of post-season first press conference, there was no panic or desperation in his voice or in his eyes. I think he has a contingency plan for this situation arising where if Kawhi leaves, and obviously they get nothing in return as far as compensation, the Raptors will be okay. I mean, then surely, clearly, they're not going to be championship favourite going into next season. But they've still got a very, very good team, and they've got some assets there that Masai Ujiri is probably going to juggle around a little bit and try to get some younger players or even some draft picks in there himself. But really, I mean, the Raptors took a gamble that was totally worth it because they won the championship. And you know what? It's very hard to win a championship under any circumstances. No one really knows the key ingredient. Sometimes it's building through the draft. Sometimes it's take a swing on a free agent. Sometimes things have just got to go your way. And a lot of those things kind of came together for the Raptors last season, and they did it. And so, you know what? That was all worth it. And now the fact that Kawhi has gone and teams like the Lakers and the Clippers and the Brooklyn Nets are really loading up on star talent, well, it's the same as it was this season. Only one team can win the championship. So two of those teams at least, if not all three of them, are going to be disappointed next season when they don't win the championship, when they've invested all these assets and they've mortgaged their future a lot. You know, Masai Ujiri didn't do that to get Kawhi Leonard. Sure, he gave up DeMar DeRozan, who's, you know, a franchise cog and a fantastic player for the team. But that was really it. Jakob Poeltl, a young prospect, sure, and a draft pick. It's worth that investment for the return the Raptors got, even though Kawhi left now, you know, with nothing in return. So I just think if you're the Raptors, you look at Pascal Siakam, an absolute stud on the rise. Fred VanVleet, he figured it out in the playoffs. It didn't look too good for him for a while. Once his kid came along, then he was fantastic. And you've still got guys like Mark and Serge and Kyle Lowry there for this season at least, even if they don't all finish the season with Toronto. Mm. So the Raptors are still going to be competitive. I expect them to be a playoff team. And I also expect Masai Ujiri, you know, he's not feeling sorry for himself right now. He's back to the grind. He's back to business. And I expect the Raptors to remain competitive in these next couple of years, even if they're not necessarily a championship contender.